Hi, I'm former Buffalo Bills wide receiver Don Beebe, and you're listening to Nate and the Fellas on Circling the Wagons podcast, because nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. Go Bills.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo! Hey, hey, let's go Buffalo!
The Bills make me wanna shout!
Welcome to the Circling the Wagons podcast, a podcast discussing the Bills all year round with interviews, news, recaps, and insightful fan discussion. Most times. Here's your host and lifelong Bills fan, Nate.
Hey, Bills Mafia. Welcome to another off-season episode of Circling the Wagons, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. I am your host, Nate. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. We have a tremendous, tremendous episode for you guys to discuss the second week of free agency, some second wave of signings for the Buffalo Bills, a lot of depth being signed to the Bills roster in a lot of different areas. We are going to update our big board of Buffalo Bills needs going into 2024, into the draft. We are going to talk about the Brandon Bean press conference at the owners meeting. So we're going to talk about the key points from that. And then we'll talk about the most mock drafted, players to the Buffalo Bills in the last few weeks, get an idea of that. And then we're going to start diving into some, draft coverage for the Buffalo Bills. But first, want to welcome in my co-hosts, John and Mike, to the podcast. John, Mike, good to talk Bills with you. How's it going? John, I'll start with you.
Going good. Looking forward to next season.
Are you feeling good about the roster right now? I mean, we were talking, you know, moves last week, and they just keep making more.
Yeah, I think the offense has been largely intact since last season. Only major differences is a center change, which they already have the player that they're going to start that they had from last year, moving from guard to center. And they just need a wide receiver too. Defense, we knew was going to be have a lot of big changes, but we know that linebackers really set with Milano and Bernard there. Cornerback is still looking good, even without Tre'Davious White. Just going to make sure defensive line and safety is good. But overall, as a team as a whole, I mean, they have Josh Allen, and like they're in it. So
yeah, exactly. Mike, how's it going, man? Excited to talk Bills.
Yeah, it's going great. Let's do it.
Can I ask you guys a question before we get into it, since you mentioned Josh Allen and everything? This is like, we'll never get a chance to talk about this probably later in the podcast, but there were pictures floating around about, you know, Patrick Mahomes working out with Hollywood Brown, his new wide receiver that they just signed. And then also, who was he? It wasn't Mecole Hardman. It was Rashid Rice, maybe. Anyway, he's working out with those guys, you know, in the weight room. And then, you know, folks were saying on Twitter, like, oh, here's Patrick Mahomes, you know, won 3 Super Bowls, already working on the offseason. At least Josh Allen is in Paris with Haley Steinfeld taking pictures and stuff like that. When you guys see stuff, you know, people make comments like that, sometimes it's Bills fans too. It's not just the outside, you know, noise of either the national media or just fan bases, other, you know, fans of other fan bases. But when you see that, John, I'll start with you. Do you agree with that statement, or do you think like that's kind of stupid? Like, I mean, I only ask because we've talked about this in the podcast, especially last year after Josh Allen did the interview with Bustin' with the Boys. And he's like, you know, I honestly don't start working out until like, what do you say? Like May or something like that. So it's just interesting. There's a slight trend maybe, but what'd you think of that whole drama that happened over social media?
It's just all noise. None of that matters. I mean, what was that one guy? Was it the Golden Globes, or he's like, it was a Taylor Swift joke where he's like, they show her more at the NFL games than at the Golden Globes, and then they pan to Taylor Swift, and she's all mad. It's like, okay, come on, take a joke. But no, like, who cares? It's like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. It's, you know, just play the game and win some games. Like, it's just finding things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Just noise. Mike, you agree? I know you've always been not a big fan of him admitting, like, yeah, I just eat pizza and wings all the time and don't really actually don't have a good diet plan or don't start working out until late in the off season.
I'm torn. I'm conflicted. Can you convince me? What do you think?
I think it's noise. I think Josh Allen is very smart, but I think he also toes the line of he doesn't. I agree that it's noise. So I do agree with John. But the thing about it is, like, the guys that last in the league like forever, like Tom Brady, like, they're taking care of their bodies, like body's temple, right? And I don't think Tom Brady always did that. So, like, maybe he didn't start doing it till he was 30 or 32. I don't know. So Josh has a moment, but I kind of wish Josh was a little bit more like that. But maybe he is. That's the other thing is, like, he's probably doing it behind the scenes. It's just because he doesn't take a workout picture. And mind you, he didn't take those pictures of him in Paris. It's just the paparazzi or whatever, right? So, like, you know, the paparazzi aren't following Patrick Mahomes around maybe because he's not dating a celebrity.
I agree with both points. I think Allen is hyping up him not doing that stuff, but he really is. And then that other point about Brady doing it later on, I think Brady really did do it later on, not early on. Not as much, maybe. I'm with you on both of those.
He looks younger now than he did when he came out of the draft.
I know you see those before and after Brady pictures.
He must have a blood point.
One thing celebrity photos has taught me, my kink is buccal fat in the face. I never knew. Never thought I had a kink, but that's my kink.
Is that the kink? Is it right near the cheeks? Is that buccal
fat? Yeah, because when you get it sucked out, you look like the ghoul, the crypt keeper.
Oh, so when you say your kink is buccal fat, it's
just like leaving it alone. Like
don't get rid of it. Whatever you do, yeah. If you're gonna be with Mike. No. Keep it, dude. I have buccal fat amongst buccal fat. That's maybe why you're such a good friend of mine. I've always had, even when I was thin and in high school, this part never went away. That's why this explains so much.
Yeah, subconsciously.
We don't have anything else in common but this. As I'm grabbing it, I got like whole handfuls of it. It's my face. It's my face's love handles. John, you have just a little bit, not nearly enough. You have some though, a little bit.
Thank you.
Any amount is fine as long as you don't suck out what you have.
This is Mike's kink, but he's so not like stringent about any of it. He's like, you just need some of it.
It's like all you need is a handful.
If he was like a boobs or a butt guy, right? Like, he's like, I'm a boobs guy. He's like, well, what kind of, what size? He's like, just if you have them. He's like, just having them in general. Amazing. What about ass? You like a big one or a small? It just has to be there. I just need you to have one. Yeah. But yeah, so it's kind of like,
it's interesting you verbalized it. Yeah, you do have a healthy, you have a perfect, good amount.
I have like, I think about it because like that's how I've always been. Like I just always have, like even if I lose weight, like this is the last part to lose weight on me is my face. So like people would never notice it unless I wore really slimming clothes. It'd be like, oh, Nate's still fat. I have to lose like an extra 20 pounds more than normal just so it leaves my face. Yeah.
It'd be interesting experiment, like if an overweight person got their buccal fat removed.
That would be really funny. Be like, oh, the guy looks great. You know, he wears black all the time. So you can't tell. Lost any weight or what? I had no idea that was called buccal fat until you mentioned that to me. I just thought it was like
cheap. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it right. I've only read about it in like on the internet. It could be buckle. I don't know. It's like B-U-C-C-A-L.
You're like, I've never heard it sound out loud because I just type it into my
into my search engine of choice.
In incognito mode.
You know they're like banning those sites in like Texas now?
Really?
Yeah, unless you put in your upload your driver's license.
Well, I wonder why that's like a bad thing to do that. I mean, it's never good to give away your information, but I always thought like with
'cause it'll be like won't it just be a matter of time before everything's hacked. It seems like once every 3 months, you get something from a health insurer or something like, hey, just so you know, our system was completely compromised and they got all your information.
Like, whoops, sorry. We're only telling you because we're legally obliged to tell you, or else we would just sweep it under the rug. Oh, cool. Well, what are you going to do for that? We'll give you like a year of like identity theft protection, but it's only going to let you know as soon as your stuff's been really stolen and used on the dark web. You know, we won't actually do anything, you know, until a kidney's been stolen, but yeah, your bank, your health insurance. Yeah. Everything just gets hacked all the time. No big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a multi-billion dollar companies or anything. So, yeah, where are we going with that? Sometimes I wonder like the whole reason why, like, and we will get to the Buffalo Bills eventually. The whole reason why like free, like internet pornography even like exists in some way, shape or form is so they can blackmail us at some point with like saying like, here's a picture of you like watching this video, like doing that. But all you have to do, and they're like, well, you can't run for office because you did that, right? Like you looked at porn. But then at the same time, it's like almost everyone's looked at porn, right? At one point or another, or if not daily or hourly, like, right? Like people do it all the time. So if you just had like a Trump approach to things and be like, yeah, I did it. So what? I'm just human. People would be like, well, yeah, he's right. I did it too. Like, no one's going to judge you for it or care about it, you know? Blackmail is the only thing I could think of, but to what? I don't know. But all right, so let's talk about Bill's free agency. That was a fun tangent. John, I'll let you start with the list. So we ended up last week, we talked about, you know, the big signings, the Curtis Samuels, the Daquan Jones re-signings, all that fun stuff. This week, there were some more depth signings. Oh, what was the first one that hit your list to discuss?
Yeah, they all came within a few days of each other, but one of the more notable ones was Austin Johnson that Daquan Jones tweeted about himself. Defensive tackle, most recently with the Chargers, started a bunch of games. I think he's going to be really good depth behind Daquan Jones, so I think that's going to be pretty good.
Yeah, at the end of season presser, Brandon Bean was, or not the end of season presser, the owner's meeting presser, Brandon Bean was asked about, specifically about Austin Johnson. And he mentioned that he's going to be there, that one technique defensive end learning behind Daquan Jones. And if you think about it, they've done a lot of these signings where they've been like 1 year signings. And it's kind of like a trial period for these guys that, you know, they think might fit their system that just haven't got a shot to look at. I mean, think about all the 1 year contracts they signed out between Puna Ford, you know, all those other guys, like even including Taylor Rapp, which they just brought back for a 3 year contract. Like it's a great opportunity to see, hey, is this guy fit in our system? Do the coaches like him? Does this guy have starter level potential? I think that's a great idea. You know, granted, like the benefit is, John, that he's a lot younger than Daquan Jones, right? I believe Austin Johnson is what, only like 27 or something like that.
He's 30, but still younger.
Yeah, he's gonna be 30. Yeah, still younger though. Still younger to get the ropes from Daquan Jones this next year or so. So yeah, we'll see. I'm sure they'll add a draft pick to that. We haven't, you know, seen where that's gonna be, but yeah. I like that Daquan Jones, we got to mention this too, John. Daquan Jones is the one that actually broke the news. Like, that's so rare that a player is like, the Bills are signing, you know, so-and-so to the roster. Normally it's like an Adam Schefter, an Ian Rappaport, or one of the, you know, Jordan Schultz or some one of those other guys. It's funny that Daquan was doing that. So, I mean, it also goes in the fact that the Bills were looking at like Eric Armstead and other defensive tackles. So I'm not surprised that they made this pick. They made the signing. John, what was another draft pick or another signing? I'm already onto the draft. I haven't even got past free agency. Another good one that kind of, you know, crossed your radar as someone that you liked.
Yeah, another interesting one was Will Clapp, center, guard. Also, most recently of the Chargers. So we're talking last week about plan B, plan C, potentially for center, since Connor McGovern was moving over. They have Alec Anderson on the roster. We're talking about maybe a potential draft pick, but well, Clapp kind of fills kind of a plan B slash C also in that regard. He's got starting experience. So it's kind of a nice depth move.
Yeah, we got him. Connor McGovern is right now at least the starting center. This is good depth, though, at least. But what was it? Alec Anderson beyond that, right? Like, he was kind of the other depth piece of the offensive line, but just not proven whatsoever. So Alec Anderson being that guy, now we have will clap above him, probably. We'll see. We'll see. But most likely start off the season that way. I like that one from the Los Angeles Chargers. Finally said that right. I've been saying San Diego for like the last 3 years, but finally getting right.
It's kind of funny. Will clap to the Bills with McDermott, just the clapper.
What are the odds?
Like if his name was not Will Clap, would he? Would that have happened? I don't know.
You see a room with like Bean and McDermott, and like Bean's just listing off the potential guys that he'd like to bring in. Will Clap. Whoa. Wait, go back. What'd you just say?
Dude, that's like, that's truly a psych. It might be unconscious, but that's the psychological phenomenon.
Do you think he realizes how much he claps? So like McDermott on the sideline, he realizes he's just clapping nonstop. Think he realizes it? Who's the Bills coach that kept chewing gum? Remember, like, was it Jaron? Like, chew gum nonstop. Oh, no, am I thinking of Pete Carroll? That's what I'm thinking of. Pete Carroll bringing in someone with the last name Trident or something. Some sort of, yeah. Anyway.
He would chew on those swizzle sticks. Was it Walt Corey?
What is a swizzle stick? Is that,
you know, the little thin straws, right? Is that what they are?
I don't know. I've never chewed on a swizzle stick. I got to Google this now.
It was the guy that did it.
Swizzle stick. Oh, I see it. They're like made for this, right? It's like it's used to stir drinks.
Yeah. I feel like Walt Corey, he used to be a defensive coordinator for the Bills. He used to do that.
Yes, Walt Corey, you got it, dude. That's literally, I just Googled swizzle stick NFL coach, and the first thing was former Bill, remember, longtime defensive coordinator Walt Corey, and the first picture is him with a red swizzle stick, like literally, like it looked like it came right out of a like rocks glass, like a mixed drink or something. Like he literally just came from like the stadium bar. Just like,
there you go.
That's a man's man. That's when, yeah. I mean, they only lived to like 61, but like that was a man's man right there. Probably had some bacon, probably dipped some bacon in that drink and swirled it around too.
That sounds amazing.
It sounds, I yearn for that time. So
I looked it up. It's called nominative determinism. It's when people tend to gravitate toward areas of work or lifestyles that fit their name.
Also, if McDermott or Bean was like a sex addict, wouldn't he want Will Clapp too? Because if you look at all the comments under the tweet for Will Clapp, it's always like them cheeks and you know, the clap is back. Cheeks. Yeah, that's all it is. Clapping cheeks. I think is he going to be number 69? That would be incredible. He might be, if he goes, if Will Clapp goes 69 for his jersey number, he might be like the third or fourth highest jersey sales of all Bills players. Because who is it? It's Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, line. I can't think of another one. Maybe not even Stephon Diggs. I don't know how many people are buying Diggs jerseys either right now, just in case he doesn't stay with them another year or two. Yeah, I could see Clap 69 being the highest selling jersey for sure. I like the depth. John, Mike Edwards, I thought was a pretty good signing. The safety from Kansas City. He played with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He played with the Kansas City Chiefs. He won a Super Bowl with both teams. He's like, in the last 4 years or something, he has the most defensive touchdowns of any player in the NFL or something like that. Like, the guy's a ball hawk. What'd you think of that one? Did that one hit the radar for you?
Yes, definitely an interesting pickup. I like him. I don't know for depth or starter.
Starter.
Honestly, I mean, right now he's a starter because it's just him and Taylor Rapp.
And Damar Hamlin.
Right. And Kim Lewis, who can Kim do Lewis. Safety oh, yeah. or a corner. But yeah. So, no, I do like the pickup. I just am curious if they're done at safety or they're going to pick somebody else up in the draft.
Well, I don't think they'll do Julian Blackman, like you said. I think that they're done with going for that level or better. I don't think they're going to sign someone better than Mike Edwards or Taylor Rapp at either position. I mean, Mike Edwards is more of that like center field sort of coverage.
Well, Blackman is still available, and so is Micah Hyde for the, I mean.
Going back to Brandon Bean's press conference, At the owners' meetings, he did not rule out a Micah Hyde comeback. How would that make you feel, guys, like just to have Micah Hyde back at minimum for depth, at best for starter? I mean, it doesn't – how could you get worse depth than that? I don't think he will necessarily, but
– I think Hyde probably would still have – if they brought Hyde back, it would definitely be a competition between him and whoever else, between him, Edwards, and any other rookie. And I don't know. I thought he was going to retire after the season, after some of those neck injuries that he's had over the last few years. But I would be happy to have him back just for that veteran presence.
Yeah, all those things. Mike, what were you going to say?
I like him and I take him back.
Yeah.
One more time.
It would be cool to have him come back. And I mean, if he comes back, let's say it's between him and Mike Edwards. I think you'd have to assume that Micah Hyde is the starter unless proven different in training camp or unless there's an injury, right? Like he was the starter last season. He didn't lose his job and he comes back healthy this year. Even if it's for a contract that's less, I mean, Mike Edwards is only a 1 year contract. If he comes back for a 1 year contract, even if it's less money, I don't know how you wouldn't say that he's a starter unless proven otherwise.
I agree. So. And, even if they brought Hyde back, at some point, they probably should draft a safety.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, 100%. 1,000% they should draft.
I still have safety in my tier one needs.
Well,
at this point in time. Even if they did bring Hyde back, it'd probably still be my tier one.
Hyde coming back does not change the future of that you could improve on Edwards, Hyde, or Rapp potentially in the draft. Or in the future, after this season. I mean, you could cut DeMar Hamlin this year, and then you would have your five safeties, Cam Lewis being the special teamer slash safety, right? So you could easily keep five of them. But you would have to cut DeMar
Hamlin. Wait, what five?
Rapp, Edwards, Lewis, Hamlin, and Micah Hyde, if Micah Hyde was here.
Oh, I see.
If Hyde was here, that's what I'm saying. Without Hyde, it doesn't matter.
I got you. But... okay. I thought you said something about cutting Hamlin and still having five, but I mustn't
heard you. Hyde. No, so it would be Hyde, Rapp, Edwards, Cam Lewis is four, and then a draft pick would be five.
Oh, the draft pick, yeah. Well, they got Kendall Williamson on the roster, too.
Who? I don't know who that is. Kendall Williamson, yes.
Yeah, I know.
Good one, John.
Semantics.
Up and coming. Kendall Williamson. Well, I hope
so. Casey Tuhill, though, also a signage.
254 pound defensive end, Casey Tuhill, right?
Yeah, former seventh round draft pick, Philadelphia, played for Washington.
Had five sacks last season.
So yeah, he's our fourth or fifth defensive end already.
Okay. Does that knock down?
Depending on how much you like Kingsley Jonathan.
I love Kingsley Jonathan. I know they
have Cameron Klein too, who, you know, he's got some talent.
Yeah. I like Cameron Klein. Remember when they would come in, Klein and Kingsley Jonathan would come in the preseason last year, like the third game and like the second half of every game. And I remember thinking like, these guys are showing something. Like, it's not just, usually we don't see a lot from our third string defensive ends. And these guys were, I mean, I was impressed. So yeah, hopefully, I mean, you still want to potentially draft someone so that you could have more upside than those guys, but solid depth. I mean,
for sure. And their number one defensive end is still a huge question mark.
The biggest question mark. I can't think of a bigger question mark. I can't think of a bigger question mark that the Bills have had on a roster. And it's like, well, I guess we'll see. Maybe like Trey White after his ACL injury, but it's been a while. Yeah, I think those were all the major signings, right, John? I think we hit them all.
Yeah.
So how does this change our big board of Buffalo Bills positional needs? Because as of last week, in our first tier, we had wide receiver, defensive tackle, and safety. And then in our second tier, we had defensive end and interior offensive lineman. They essentially, John, took everything but wide receiver and hit on it in this last week. I feel like I don't want to toot our own horns. I don't want to say Brandon Bean listens to the podcast, but I mean, he literally went like everything but wide receiver. Like he hit on everything. So, and it's, yeah. It also got.
No, sorry. No, I was agreeing with you, about to agree with you. I would move. So based on what you just said, I would keep receiver and safety at tier one. I would move defensive tackle to tier two with defensive end. And then I would move interior offensive lineman to tier three with corner, which is what we had last week, I believe. And then the tier four stuff is like another running back, returner, kicker, punter, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I would agree. Would you put, like, I mean, we're putting in tiers, but like wide receiver is still the number one overall need above everything. And then, like you said, safety makes sense. Because we could still get a starter, probably not over Taylor Rapp. They're probably thinking he is going to be the starter, so they probably won't draft someone in that spot. But like over the Mike Edwards pick for sure. Even if they brought that guy.
Yeah, they can make do with Mike Edwards, or even if they brought Micah Hyde back or whatever, they can figure it out. But receiver is hugely important. And then we're talking about last week about Mike Williams, who signed with the Jets, which is a double negative, right?
Yeah, great. Yep, we knew that probably wasn't going to happen for the Buffalo Bills, but you hate to see it go to a divisional opponent. I mean, the one thing, going back to our needs, like defensive end to defensive tackle. I mean, the way that I look at needs for a roster, and we've never really discussed like our reasoning behind it specifically, but I look at, do we have starters? Okay, if we don't have a starter, obviously that's a tier one need. If we don't even have a starter at that position, right? Like that's clearly a tier one need. Then, you know, after that, it becomes, okay, do we have good starters or okay starters? Okay, can we improve on the starters? And that's where wide receiver two and safety comes in, because we have starters, you know, at wide receiver two and safety, but we don't have starters that we can't improve upon, like potentially a lot, but at defensive end, though, I mean, you're figuring between Gregory Rousseau, Von Miller, AJ Epenesa, and now with Casey Tuhill, I mean, you have four startable level edges. Now, would you want to start AJ Epenesa? Not really. You'd rather have him, you know, rotate in like he will, but you have starters and then you have depth. So do you need to draft someone in the first round at defensive end? I don't think it's as much of a need. So that's why I agree with you there. That's in the second tier, along with defensive tackle, because if you think about it, like defensive tackle was a huge need. Now we have Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones as the starters, like two good starters. Like we like those starters. And now we finally have like a guy learning behind Austin Johnson. Now it's still a need though, because we still don't have like a three tech behind Ed Oliver, or maybe like a versatile 1-3 tech that can start behind either Ed Oliver or Daquan Jones. So that's where I leave it there.
Yeah, I agree. It's really dicey at both end and tackle, but at least we have starters there, right?
Yeah, but you could still get more depth and a player that could potentially start over either of those guys. Not defensive end, or defensive tackle, rather. Sorry, a defensive end, potentially Von Miller, a starter over Von Miller. We'll see. I still think Von Miller, and that was, let's go. So we'll take that and we'll just, you know, cause it's hard to hear over audio form. Our needs right now for the Buffalo Bills, the first tier, the most important is wide receiver still. That has not changed. Even with the signing of Curtis Samuel, safety is next. We still think that we can improve over Mike Edwards and potentially Taylor Rapp, although I don't think that they will. So there's still room for improvement there, at least a young prospect with upside. And the same thing for the next tier. The second tier is defensive end and defensive tackle. Basically, the whole D-line. It's our second tier. They can get value, you know, valuable depth and potential starting players, but probably not for... I mean, there's a... Dude, they could draft a one-tech defensive tackle in the second or fourth round or something, and there could be a guy that could compete with Daquan Jones. Now, it's hard to think that that's a possibility because Daquan has been so good in the last couple of years he's been here, but he is also 32 years old, right? So, like, there's a possibility that you could get someone in the second round even, maybe, and he could start over Daquan.
You never know. Kyle Williams is a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, that's right. He started over... He didn't start over McCargo right away, but it was soon. Soon thereafter, maybe he did.
Yeah, it wasn't very soon after that they realized McCargo was a bust. they traded up for McCargo too, didn't they?
Well, yes, they did. They did. They traded up. They traded away their next year's pick, I think, to get back, because their first pick was Dante Whitner, another amazing hit by the by Modrak.
Well, I mean, Whitner was serviceable at least, but McCargo was definitely a bust.
Yeah, true. True. Whitner at least played. He was a startable safety. He wasn't good. He wasn't really good, but he was okay, right? Yeah. And then a third tier and after, which is basically just like really good depth and possible upside, is interior offensive line, center guard, even though they have Will Clapp now. They signed David Edwards. You know, it's still, there's a potential that they get a starting center and they can move Connor McGovern back to left guard. Like, that's still a very good possibility. And then David Edwards becomes a really good depth piece. Maybe Will Clapp is that depth piece, you know. Now all of a sudden you're talking at, let's hope Connor McGovern's a good center too. Now we know, he already know he's a good left guard. Let's keep him there. So I did read the Tim Graham article on The Athletic though about Connor McGovern moving to center, and he's psyched about it. It sounds like that's something he's always wanted to do. He just never got the opportunity in Dallas, and now he gets the opportunity. So they interviewed his coach from Penn State, where he played center for 2 years at Penn State before moving to another position because of need. But they said that there's certain, the former coach or the offensive line coach there was like, man, he's just, some people are meant to play center and some people aren't. And he was, he's got everything it takes to do that. So we'll see. We'll see. I feel a little bit better after reading that article. It was like everything led to this. Cause to me, I was like, they just needed to come up with a name for center just so that they wouldn't make it look like a glaring need on the roster. But now it sounds like it's a legit possibility. He might actually be decent at it. So let's hope.
Yeah, plus they already have two backups on the roster, and Alec Anderson and Will Clapp. And then if they draft somebody, they could potentially play two. They could have like four different players. So if McGovern doesn't work out, they could always move him back to guard and have one of these other two or three other guys play center. So there's options, which is nice.
Yeah, if they go interior offensive line in the first like four rounds, you think they go like a guy that like a Osiris Torrance, where he's just like. By the way, that was going to be my my analogy for someone coming in and starting over Daquan Jones, is how Torrance started over Ryan Bates. You know, and we liked Ryan Bates, but he was better. So like that was my, like, maybe you draft someone in the first or second round that can start over Daquan Jones. Like it's not unreasonable. Then you have like tremendous depth with Daquan back there. But David Edwards, like if they draft a guy in the interior offensive line, like they have good guard depth and they have decent center depth now. I wonder if they go for a strict guard, a strict center, or, I mean, they say they value versatility, maybe a center slash guard, you know?
Yeah, I tend to think that they really like their offensive line right now.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to do a top half of the draft offensive lineman.
If they really do, we're gonna find out, John, if they really do like Connor McGovern at center. If they draft a pure guard like they did with Osiris Torrance, like that'll tell us, okay, Connor McGovern is 1000% the center. Now if they draft a center slash guard, now we're gonna kind of, okay, well, maybe we'll see what happens in training camp, right? Like Connor McGovern gets first team snaps, but maybe they rotate in first team snaps with the, you know, fourth round pick or something. We'll see. One of their two fourth round picks. I can't see them going above that, though. I can't see them drafting someone on day one or day two with their first or second round pick because they don't have a third round pick, like we mentioned last week. Yeah,
I think they're set offensive line. David Edwards is going to be the left guard. Torrance is going to stay at right guard. McGovern at center. And Ryan Vandermark is a great depth tackle. And they got Alec Anderson is really good depth on the inside. And they just signed Will Clapp for another inside guy, and they got Tommy Doyle still. I think they're going to be fine.
This on paper, it feels like one of the best. I mean, if they hadn't got rid of Mitch Morse, this feels like one of the best offensive lines they've had since, I mean, last year was their best offensive line, and this one could potentially be, especially if Spencer Brown continues to take more steps forward. Yeah.
Is Brown a free agent next year?
This is going to be his, is this going to be his third year or his fourth year? Hold on. Let's see. He is signed through. This is his last season. So the Bills will have to re-sign him if the Bills can't afford him.
Right.
They're so getting a starting tackle.
Right. So the year after is probably either going to be Vandermark or another guy, I think.
You don't think they'll re-sign Brown?
I think because of the money.
Hold on. Let's look at their 2025 salary cap. Let's see how they're doing. They are $9 million over the cap. Whatever. It happens.
So Vandermark or another guy that they sign this year or next year. So they're already planning for their future. Look at these guys. Alec Anderson, Vandermark. These are good depth guys.
Yeah, they are. They are. Man, that stink not to, Tommy Doyle, to develop a guy.
They just brought in Will Clapp for, I don't know if it was 1 or 2 years, but yeah. Like they have 11 picks. I'm sure one of those picks is going to be an offensive lineman.
For sure. Maybe they, yeah, maybe they pick up a tackle even.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Interesting. So, you know, that's our big board of Buffalo Bills needs. We had interior offensive lineman and offensive tackle, which we kind of just mentioned just now, but cornerback is also in our third tier because the Bills like to get depth. They should get some depth behind Christian Benford and Russell Douglas. Maybe it's Kair Elam, maybe not. So they should just, you know, get another cornerback. Plus, you know, it's never bad to have depth at corner for sure. And then our fourth tier is just, you know, running back, kick returner, linebacker, kicker, punter, offensive tackle, stuff like that. So, yeah. Yeah, cool. So let's do quick hits from the Brandon Bean press conference, takeaways at the NFL owners meetings. Let's start with Bean said that he thinks that Von Miller will get back to the way he played in 2022 and before the injury this year. He says he wants to win. He took a pay cut. I mean, I think all three of us are kind of on the same page as far as we think that Von Miller will be back this season. I know a lot of Bills fans are still soured on him. I know none of us liked the performance he had, but I mean, it's unlikely. I just can't believe that a future Hall of Famer just completely drops off the face of the planet. You know, like it's just, it was the injury. It was the injury and the expectations of that he set for himself is the reason why Bills fans are like us are as upset as we are. So nothing new in that really. Unless you guys have anything to add to that, I think that kind of stands by itself. Greg Rousseau, Bean said he thinks that the fifth-year option is likely to be picked up for Greg Rousseau. I think that that's an obvious decision. It's only $13 million. Just saw it on the 2025 Buffalo Bills salary cap, so that's already figured in. So we're good there. I like that. I like Greg Rousseau. I think he has a chance to still get a lot better, so excited for that. He's shown flashes. Greg Rousseau has shown flashes, and that's all you want. Like, what is this? This is going to be his fourth year. So, I mean, you want to see flashes. Obviously, you'd love like a dominant player, but that doesn't always happen. I mean, he took a year off from COVID before he was drafted, so you knew it was going to take at least a year for him to like kind of acclimate to the NFL. So,
I wonder if there's anybody in our lives that think about us the way you think about him.
How so? Like, because I think
he's going to show. He's showing. He's going to show flashes. He's going to turn things around.
I think he's going to continue to grow. He's going to continue to grow.
That's what she said.
No, he's not.
He's going to continue.
We are hoping he's a grower, not a shower.
I want him to show it, Greg.
Well, he isn't. He isn't.
I want him to start showing. Show me more. Greg Rousseau's like defending himself. He's like, do they know about shrinkage? They know about
shrinkage. I was in the pool.
It shrinks. It's of course it shrinks. Like what does he say? Like a turtle or something with a like a turtle head in its going back in its shell. Oh man.
But maybe at your job, everyone's like, Nate just needs more time.
I 100% think that people have thought that about me and my job. I just got a compliment on Friday. Like we had like three deadlines due it that day. And it was like end of the day, we were wrapping everything up. And one of the project managers was like, you know, you've really been crushing it since you came back. And I'm like, so in my head, I'm like, you know, out loud, I'm like, thanks. That's nice, you know, appreciate that. But in my head, I'm like, you must have thought I was going to shit the bed. Like, you must have thought you were going to have to fire me at some point, right? It's like, I was like the Spencer Brown of my office. Like, everyone's like, this guy's a bust, you know? And then all of a sudden, I turn around and have a good year. I guess he's not so terrible. I guess Nate's, maybe we'll sign Nate for an extension. We'll see.
Three deadlines in one day. Who does that?
Well, luckily I was on vacation for a week and a half, so like I made no progress on anything while I was gone. So yeah, I don't know. It's just sometimes it's just the way it is. Sometimes we don't have any deadlines for like a month, and then sometimes we'll have three in one day, right? So it's gonna try to just the way it is.
It might depend, right? Like some deadline, like one thing might take only an hour to do. Other things might take a whole week to do.
Well, yeah, the things that I'm
an hour. I thought we were talking about projects.
That's like a, that's like checking my email.
Our is like emergency request type of thing.
An hour is sending a fax.
A fax for an hour. You still do faxes?
You put deadlines on things that take an hour?
I have like 12 deadlines a day. I'm like putting in time in my timesheet. It's like there's one deadline.
I was thinking you account for all that stuff.
I usually count deadlines as things that take weeks or months.
Or years.
Years. Let's see, other notes from Brandon Bean's press conference. Micah Hyde still might come back, like we mentioned earlier. He didn't rule out Micah Hyde coming
back. John, your task list for like a day must be like 150 things.
Scratch my ass.
There's always something to do. Check.
John, I would love to see your Outlook taskbar because I like keep a lot of tasks in there just to feel like I actually accomplished something. But it's mostly Outlook.
What's an Outlook taskbar?
You guys don't know what that is?
Dude, I don't have time to log into that.
John's like, I don't need to add another deadline to my day by logging into Outlook. Anyway, that's.
Is that like go out to everybody else, like your task list for
Outlook? No. You could do it so like people can see it, but I don't want anyone seeing my stuff. They'd be like, oh, Nate put a deadline for that on Wednesday. I'm going to move it to Tuesday. Like, no, I don't share any of my, they're only my own tasks.
So like I'm just writing stuff down on a post-it note. You're opening something in Outlook.
Yeah. I do both. I do post-it notes all over too. Like I'm trying to solve a murder or something, you know? Mm. It's like, and then eventually, like, I noticed that post-it is on my desk still, and I actually did it for once. Like, mm-hmm. That's the best feeling ever, crumbling that up and throwing it in the recycling bin. Ugh. If you could bottle that up, like finishing a task.
John has just, that feeling 200 times a day.
You have that post-it up at the corner of your monitor, and it's just there for a while. And it's like, well, it's been there for a while, so I guess it could be there for a little more while.
It could be
days turned into weeks.
Like the stickiness.
Well, nobody said anything yet. Nobody said anything.
The worst is when the coloring fades.
The coloring fades. The stickiness runs out, so you have to tape it on. Oh, when you have to tape a post-it on, that's a sad day. What about, like, you ever post it?
And then
you forget
what it was for. It's like, oh, wait, what was this that I wrote on this? It was for something important, I know.
John's like, I forgot who I was supposed to send that fax to. No, wait, that's Mike. Like, so I had to fax that whole office? That's not happening anytime soon. Do you guys ever put, like, your username or passwords to your work machine on a post-it note on your monitor or anything? Am I the only one that does
that? No, there's trainings that tell us not to do that.
There is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're not supposed to. I have it on both my home computer and my work computer. If somebody wanted to log on in me and completely screw up my entire career, like, they could do that. They have a password right there. You know, like, send out a company-wide email, like, fuck you. Like, this. Anyway, other items from the...
I had no idea you were so lax.
I'm kind of inviting someone to just ruin my life, if you think about it. It's like leaving...
It's like a self-sabotage thing.
Yeah. Hoping, like, leaving your keys in your unlocked car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ah, well, you know, whatever happens, happens. Yeah, self-sabotage, exactly. Let's see. Bean is confident. So he mentioned Micah Hyde coming back. He also mentioned that Trey White still... He didn't rule him out in coming back at some point. I feel like those guys really never do come back like we hope they will. So I would never put any money on it. I think it's very unlikely they don't come back, but
I thought Trey White signed somewhere, or am I not thinking about that correctly?
No, I think he's still out there. I know he visited the Rams. So he visited the Rams.
It was a visit. Yeah, you're right.
The Rams, the Titans, and the Giants. Dude, Brian Daboll is absolutely gonna sign him. You kidding me? The New Jersey Bills down there. Bean also mentioned there's about $6 to $7 million in cap space right now, which is kind of interesting because they still need to sign all their draft picks. So I cannot imagine unless they're done with their cuts and restructures for all we know. So I cannot see them signing anybody until after the draft, until after June 1st, probably. Unless they end up, I can't see that happening. With $6 to $7 million in cap space, let's see how
They probably need 11 or 12 million for those picks, but they get 10 million after June 1st from the Trey White release. So
they need,
they should be fine.
They need $11.5 million for all the draft picks they have right now. So you can guarantee they will not keep all 11 picks, right?
No, they will, because after they just won't sign them all until after June 1st, which is when they get that $10 million from.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, yeah. Gotcha. Sorry. I was getting ahead of myself. I didn't hear that well. Okay. All right.
Because they're going to have 90 players on the roster going in training camp, and they only have 62 right now. So figure, okay, 11, that's 73, assuming that they don't trade up or anything.
Like 10 undrafted guys.
And then, 10 undrafted guys. Yeah, so I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, okay. All right, John, thanks for talking me off a ledge. So nice. That what is it, $10 million or $11 million from Trey White, you said? It's like 10.1 or something like that.
Yeah, it's 10 point something.
So they'll actually have a few million left over if they wanted to, like, sign some cheap, you know, set fourth or fifth tier free agents for competition. So
right, and they're going to need some money, like, for the first during the year to sign guys, like, because they're going to have injuries and so forth. So they're going to want a little bit buffer going into the year.
Mm-hmm. The last thing I'll mention from the Brandon Bean press conference is that Curtis Samuel, he mentioned, will be used as both a runner and a pass catcher, which is something we mentioned last week, that he was used in both that capacity. Kind of like a poor man's Deebo Samuel, right? Like, he has the ability, he just doesn't nearly have, he's not nearly as prolific of one of those players as Deebo Samuel has been in Kyle Shanahan's offense in the 49ers. So, yeah, that's it. We hit on a lot of things, the new free agent signings. Oh, yeah, real quick. This is what I meant to do. The players most often mocked to the Buffalo Bills in the college ranks. I'm going to read these off real quick. There's a bunch of different ones, but the most commonly mocked player to the Buffalo Bills right now is wide receiver Brian Thomas Jr. So we're going to be doing more player profiles. He's from LSU. We're going to be doing more player profiles on these guys as the weeks go on, especially the guys that we see mocked to the Bills a lot. And then we can start to kind of pick which ones we like our favorite, you know, and then we'll do some live mock drafts together and kind of come up with our options. That's why, one of the reasons why we continue to talk each week on our big board of Bills positional needs, because when we're doing our mock drafts live on the podcast, we'll say, okay, you know, first need, wide receiver. Who's available at wide receiver? Okay, we don't like any of the guys here at wide receiver. Next need, okay, it's safety, let's say. Safety, who do we have at safety? We don't like anyone's safety. All right, let's look at defensive tackle, defensive end, so on and so forth. So that's kind of why we're doing process that we're doing. So Brian Thomas Jr., the wide receiver out of LSU. The next one that's most commonly mocked to the Buffalo Bills is Troy Franklin, the wide receiver out of Oregon, 6'3", 187-pound dude, man. And then the last one, the third most, is Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, 6'4", 196 pounds. So we're going to be talking about these guys next week. We're going to be talking about maybe some other prospects that we like as well, or other guys that we see commonly mocked to the Bills in the draft. I'm seeing, like, some other players I'm just seeing randomly is, like, Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota to the Buffalo Bills. Xavier Leggett, the wide receiver out of South Carolina. Devondre Sweat is a very popular defensive tackle out of Texas. A lot of Bills fans on social media are loving Devondre Sweat. He could potentially be a starter over, you know, Daquan Jones. We were just mentioning starters. Like, that's a guy that, like, and if the Bills don't go wide receiver, I could definitely see them trying to land a defensive tackle in the second round or in the first round with that pick.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because they're picking it like 28, right? Is that what it is? So
yep.
It's going to really depend on who's been picked. And trade up is not impossible. They can do that too. Bean's done that before. There are a lot of receivers in this draft, but that doesn't necessarily mean they need to wait on it if they feel there's a gap in between one tier and the other. And, I mean, some of the guys that you mentioned, Brian Thomas, Xavier Leggett, Donnie Mitchell, some of those guys might be there. They need a receiver really bad, I think. We're talking about this last year. Last year, receiver was their biggest need, and they took Kincaid and like, well, he's like a receiver. And I love Kincaid. I think he's going to work out well. But they still need a receiver, right?
Yeah, they still do. Yep.
And not only for the number two, but maybe even for the eventual Diggs replacement after a couple more years, because he is getting older. And I know he had a bit of an ankle earlier this year, but like there's been some inconsistencies there even for the alpha receiver. So I think it's important they address that.
Well, you mentioned how the wide receiver draft is one of the deepest it's been in a few years. And if there's a run on wide receivers in the first round and it gets to Buffalo and they're not super psyched about who's there, I mean, they're not going to be psyched about who's there in the second round, right? Like, that's kind of how I look at it, you know, even fantasy football drafting or whatever. It's like, you know, how big is their drop off between now and the next time I draft potentially? You know, like there could be a lot of guys, like you could be getting the eighth best wide receiver versus like the 19th best wide receiver on your board. You know, like this is one of those years that, like, because it's so deep, like you could get a guy, like let's say he's potentially the 10th or 11th best wide receiver at your draft pick. Probably not going to be like that, but let's say it is. In a normal draft, he could be like the 5th or 6th best wide receiver. So maybe this is the year where, you know, you actually pull the trigger and also, you might not.
It also depends on how they really do value their safety room currently and the defensive linemen to make that kind of decision to maybe reach for a guy, or, you know, it's a hard decision. They could take a corner. Like, you don't know what they're going to do, but.
They could take a corner that they can convert to safety. They haven't really done that yet.
I wouldn't do that necessarily. Because, we feel comfortable with their corners, but there's no depth. They have two corners and one of the best nickels corners, and that's it. Kyer Elam is still a huge question mark, if even that, and that's it. So they need more corners.
Yes.
That could even be moved up into tier two. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, who else say they?
It's tough because they have Jamarcus
Ingram, yeah, and then Kyren Brown.
Well, Cam Lewis we mentioned too. Cam Lewis is a backup. Yeah, you're right. We definitely need Kyrie.
They need another. Yeah, they need another corner. I'll move corner up to tier two with defensive line. Okay. I think
that makes sense to me. The more we talk it out, the more it makes sense. Overall, interior offensive linemen. They haven't signed any corners in the draft, or in the free agency, rather. So, yeah, okay.
I mean, right now they have more offensive linemen than any other position, so they got 11 offensive linemen already.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean – I mean, I get what you're saying for numbers, but that doesn't mean that they're going to keep, like, you know.
Well, two of them are just bodies, so they have 9, yeah. I think, real offensive linemen right now. If you count Will Clapp and Tommy Doyle –
Tommy Joy's coming off an ACL injury too, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but the defensive line is sparse, and corner after you get past the first three is like, who, like anybody else? If any of those three go down, okay, Cam Lewis can start in a pinch, but that's it, and then that takes away from safety because they're down to safety too.
Yeah,
so I go receiver still number one, and then safety, and then defensive line and corner are all in the same tier.
Yeah, I agree.
And then after that is everything else.
And we kind of mentioned, I think we're gonna hit on this later, that if we had to pick like positions to double up on, I think wide receiver is definitely one of those positions
in the draft. For sure.
One early and one late as a flyer. And then I could see, man, if there was another position you were going to double dip in, I don't think safety would necessarily be it.
Well, you could say defensive back, right?
True.
Kind of like expand it out and be like, all right, they're going to, if they pick a corner, they could triple dip. They do a corner safety and then another defensive back. They have 11 picks, right?
Yeah.
they could do 2 receivers, 3 defensive backs, offensive linemen, a couple defensive linemen.
Yeah, you know what stinks is they couldn't keep Alex Austin last year. I liked him. I don't think he's necessarily going to be, you know, a Christian Benford even level, but he's good depth. He's a starter for the Steelers. He started for them in the playoff game.
I do kind of like Jamarcus Ingram, who's still in the roster, but... I mean, we'll have to wait and see how that goes.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you guys all for listening. If you could, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this podcast. Next week, I think we're going to go more into the draft prospects, any news that comes up with the players, any signings that the Bills make, any players added to the roster in any way, shape, or form we'll discuss. And, you know, who knows? I mean, John, I don't want to ask you to look at too many draft prospects. You already have a few hundred tasks on your list. Any projects that are due this week, I'm sure. So I don't want to add anything else to your pile. So you don't have to do as much work as you did this week.
I got some names.
Nice. Cool. Cool. Well, thank you guys all for listening.
John, how long does a project take you? 10 minutes?
Well, it depends. Am I using like AI or just, or do I have to do it myself?
So 10 minutes.
Wow. Are you guys ever worried that AI is going to replace your job? Like you at your job?
No. Can't wait.
Mike has this thought, John. Mike has this thought that when AI replaces us inevitably, that like we're going to get some sort of universal income because they've taken over like all of our jobs. Whereas I'm like, no, we'll just all be homeless. Like I have much more of a dystopian future approach than Mike does. Like I'm thinking it's going to be like Terminator where we're fighting the robots and stuff like that while the billionaires just sit up in their, you know, sit up in the hills. Like we're just going to be all fighting each other for scraps of Walmart food. So
I feel like that's our grandkids.
Oh yeah.
I don't think we're there yet.
I think we have to teach them all to hunt and fish and everything. Like we're going to go like within 3 generations, we went from being pioneers to like industrialists. And now we're going right back to pioneers as soon as the collapse of society has happened. Can't wait. Anyways, on that note, signing off for John.
Go Bills, I guess.
Go Bills. What does it matter? FML. Mike, signing off for Mike.
Go Bills. I looked it up. It's called buckle fat, or it's how it's pronounced. So hang on to it.
Well, I mean, it's hang on to it just because it's Mike's kink, but I don't know if they need another reason to hang on to it. Is it good for you or something?
Well, don't get rid of it.
Sorry. Hold on to it. Build up that buckle fat, man. Like your good friend Nate. I should get like some implants, man. They'd be like out here.
That'd really it's perfect. What you got is perfect.
Oh, stop. You're just saying that.
I've always thought that.
I'm so glad I get to hear it first on the podcast first. That's why you're always staring at me when I'm telling a story looking off in the distance, and then I finally catch your eyes and you're just staring at my cheeks.
I look away quickly.
So as not to cause...
I wonder, now that I'm thinking about it, like in old movies and stuff, like people would always be pinching cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that was like a buckle fat.
I thought that was just to make them look redder. Like instead of using blush, they would just pinch them to make them like for make.
Like old people going up to young people.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, look at Johnny, right?
Yeah. It's like a Harvey Weinstein scenario.
Like, oh, look at, yeah, this really gets me going like this.
Yeah. Instead of kissing you on the cheek, they would just grab a...
grab a little... Cheek. Yeah, a fingerful. Oh, those pervs.
Yep.
Oh, man. All right, signing off for me, Go Bills. Your buckle fat host from the CTW. And we'll talk to you guys again next week. Find the sound in the parking lot. We got the tailgate down and our fingers
Thank you for listening to the Circling the Wagons podcast. Download and subscribe to us in your favorite podcast service. Email us at ctwpod@gmail.com. That's Charlie Tango Whiskey Pod at gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at ctwpod. And most importantly, go Bills!
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, Nate.
Well, listen, the whole show is called Circling the Wagons. Say no more. I love it.
You could post pictures of your cheeks on, like, what, you know, there's like feet websites. You could post on the Buckle Fat web, or maybe there's not even one that exists. You could invent the category.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's how you do. You always got to be the first one. That's how you do the first genius. One to OnlyFans, the first one to feet pics, the first one to Buckle Fat. Which should I, but what if, like,
yeah. And then like decades in the future, they'd like go back and be like, oh, look at Nate's. Those are the classics. Those are the originals.
I'd be the Marilyn Monroe of Buckle Fat. That was before they got all surgically enhanced. Fake buckles everywhere. You can't walk around LA with just staring at a set of fake buckles. Yeah.
No offense to Nate, but he might be the best one that we know, but like it's not like we know that many people in the world. So I think it's going back to like Miss Universe. And like if you go back to Miss Universe 1910, it was between like six people and they weren't super attractive.
They were the only six survivors from the Spanish flu or whatever. Yeah, they were
So I feel like that's the era we're in. Like just invented the category. Yeah. Whoever just invented Miss Universe.
I always maintained that the beginning of the NFL was just some guys that like to drink together and just like happened to play tackle football. They're like, this is a league, man. Like, just started it.
For sure.
Like, they were probably good at what they did. Don't get me wrong, but they're nothing compared to this NFL. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's better to be the first than the best. It's harder. It's hard to be the best like 25 years later than to be the first. Yeah.
We've always said we want to invent a category.
Okay. All right, Mike. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a cut if I can find how you spell buckle? B-U-C-K-A-L.
Give me a cut. I'll give you a cut.
It's like, I'll give you a finder's fee. It's cool.
You think AI can't create this shit you're peddling?
You have low rate buckle fat. Buckle fat. When I search buckle fat, the first thing is buckle fat removal.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to go back the other way.
Buckle fat kink sites. God. Oh, now I'm on a
nothing,
a list.
Right?
No,
there's
got
to be nothing.
Kidding. I don't want to necessarily search that.
Well, just you're using a VPN incognito.
I'm not. I should be.
I'll just sign you up through your email for some sites. It'll be fine.
But would they want it? Like, if I was a guy, like, would guys? I feel like
no. You're zooming in a lot, so it's like people can envision what they want.
Oh, I'd shave my beard then, just to yeah.
It's just super close up.
I remember coming back from like, Mike, you probably don't remember. This is probably like 10, 15 years ago at this point.
Some pictures have lipstick on and some have the beard. We'll take some before and then you can.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Best of both worlds.
I'll put some makeup on. I don't give a shit. make a few bucks. I'll do whatever. So there was... There was a time we were coming back from a camping trip, Mike, and this was when digital cameras, I don't think smartphones were really quite a thing yet, and you kept taking pictures of like your thigh, like your knee where it came back, like came together its underside, and you'd be like, oh, doesn't this look like, was it cleavage you were trying to make it look like, or an asshole, like something, you're like, doesn't this look like an ass? No, you're right. No. That would be even more impressive if you made a whole lot of like sticking your thigh together. You're like, doesn't this look like an ass? You spent the whole car trip doing that. Anyway,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I remember. That's funny. You literally like put your thigh up. You take a picture and be like, you just show me and you're like, doesn't this look like, I'm like, yeah, that does look like an ass. Like, what are you, why are you showing me this? It's mine. That's just my, and then you would do it like in the backseat, you'd like lift up your thigh and you'd be like, see, you could literally sell pics like that, Mike, and just like put like a pair of fabric right there to make it look like a whale tail or something, you know?
But that's what I needed at the time. I was 80% of the way there. I just need one of you guys to be like, hey, why don't we upload this?
Yeah. That would be the website. Is this an ass or is this something else? This is like, oh, that's definitely an ass. And you back out and it's a guy's like armpit. Like, ah, man. I'm going to look up some bulk of fat websites. Of course, then like I'll actually try to do it and try to like make it work. And then I'll realize, like, I'm, like, the worst buckle fat, like, spokesperson ever. Like, I'm garbage compared to...
No, dude, your category is amateur.
I'm too old to be, like, nubile. Teen. Is that too specific?
You could definitely pass for it.
I could, right?
You have like virtually no sun damage, no wrinkles.
You've stayed indoors so many years. You're fine.
I don't. I've stayed. The only wrinkles. The only sun.
No
damage.
Smile. You haven't been smiling.
Yeah. Do you think people have
say naturally rosy? To, well, maybe not naturally. Is that from like a drink? Like a rosy hue.
You're saying I'll have a drink before a shoot if that'll help me rosy up these bad boys. Yeah, I think it's a rosacea thing. I think it's genetic. I don't think that's a drink thing, but we'll see. It could be.
You could always add some blush. No big deal.
You'll slap myself a little bit. That might get people going if I show myself slapping a little buckle right here. They're like, oh, there stop it. I'm being naughty.
A little ASMR.
A little ASMR. It's just, the ASMR is just me going.
Stop doing it.
Mike's got the biggest boner right now. It's got the buckle and the sound going. Stop it. You're gonna make me lose it.
All right, I gotta go.
Oh, I'm sure you do, Mike. You do.
That's another category, choking.